Welcome to the Touchdown Jaguars podcast. Here are your hosts, James Johnson and Phil Smith.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 76 of Touchdown Jaguars. I am your host for today, James Johnson, riding this one solo as we will have Phil back next week. He has some things to take care of with the Wait For It podcast. But as you all know, I am more than capable of doing a solo episode. Sometimes it's not for the best because I go on to starting rants and what have you. But I told my man, I can handle it. We'll get him back next week. And hopefully next week we'll be talking about a victory episode in the process and also going into the playoffs. So that's where we are now as the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to stop their four-game slide after a victory over the Carolina Panthers. A 26-0 shutout to be exact. And that's exactly what we needed, right? And I kind of talked about that in the last episode, which didn't get released due to technical issues. But had it gotten released or had it been released, that was one thing I wanted to see. That was one of my, one of the things I mentioned in the podcast that I really wanted to see from this team who at that time were on the four-game skid that I just mentioned and had played terribly against the Tampa Bay Bucks, which, you know, I got into a rant on that episode. Good thing it went unreleased. But the Jacksonville Jaguars have gotten themselves back on track, and they just need a victory against the Tennessee Titans in their series or their season finale, regular season finale. And it's a situation where they win, they're in. If they lose, I think their chances to get into the playoffs fall to like 20%. And they could get in a wild card scenario. But what they would need is the Colts and Texans game not to end in the tie. And they would need losses out of the Pittsburgh Steelers and a loss from the Denver Broncos, if my memory serves me correctly. But simply put, the easiest way to win is beat a Tennessee Titans team that you're more talented than, win the division, get in that way. You'll face the wild card seed, which probably would be, you know, it's a 68% chance. Look, based on some statistics I saw earlier, that that'll be the Cleveland Browns, or a 68% chance that that'll be the matchup for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns. So we'll get into that. And the Jacksonville Jaguars win against the Carolina Panthers. But before we do that, you know how this thing goes. We start the show off, unless you're a new listener, any new listeners, welcome aboard. And we want you to rate, comment, subscribe if you will. And we would very much appreciate that. But we start this thing off by plugging our social media handles, of course. And hopefully I can make this one a shorter episode because much like last week's episode that didn't go released, I had technical difficulties with this week's episode. I actually recorded one yesterday. And, you know, some things happen in terms of technology. Don't you just love podcasting and technology, right? To where I am now re-recording this episode. But you can follow me at sportsgrind_done on Twitter. Again, as y'all know, I will never get used to calling it X. You can follow Phil at Phil the Filipino on Twitter. And of course, our podcast handle is at TD Jaguars Pod. We have an official site as well. That's touchdownjaguars.com, which is mostly used for archived episodes. So if you want to find archived episodes on somewhere that is not one of your go-to podcasting platforms, we have that. And we have some articles there as well. We need to get some new articles up. There is a little bit of old content there. But with the off-season coming up, and hopefully we are doing podcasts about the Jacksonville Jaguars winning in the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl. But with the offseason coming up, we'll be getting more content related to the offseason, the draft, and, you know, free agency and what have you. I will be getting content, written content that is up on touchdownjaguars.com. So in terms of the podcasting platforms that you can find us on, we are pretty much anywhere of notes that you can find a podcast on, whether that's most notably Apple Podcasts or iTunes, depending on how you go to it, whether you go to it on your smartphone or on your actual computer. But we are there. Feel free to rate, comment, and subscribe there, as that is the most common way to show the podcast some support and get us up in terms of the ratings. You can also listen to the podcast, most notably for Android users, on Spotify. So feel free to head on over there if you have an Android. And we are on many, many other platforms, whether you're an iPhone or Android user. Another notable one, Amazon Music, of course. So you can get that, of course, on either device, Apple or on your Android devices. And also that can also be used as a means to have us played on your Alexa devices and your, you know, your Amazon related devices as well. And we're on many, many other platforms. If we aren't on your favorite platform or go-to platform, because I know that can vary between where you live. Some people, we have a lot of our listeners that listen in from the UK or somewhere else, you know, within the world, because of course, you know, with a lot of Jaguars fans being in the military, you know, they could be anywhere in the world. But if we're not on your favorite platform, feel free to let us know and we'll get there, do our best to get you there or get there and get you your weekly fix of Jacksonville Jaguars news, as we appreciate all the love and support and we appreciate your ears and your feedback and all of that as we've gone on this journey for over 75 episodes now. And want to keep going strong. But without you, there is no us. And without your feedback, we can't get better. So we would very much appreciate that. And lastly, but certainly not least, shout outs to our sponsor, SeatGeek, who have sponsored us almost since the beginning. Not necessarily since episode one, but almost since the beginning. And they are your go-to source for your ticketing needs for whatever event it is that you want to attend. Of course, with this podcast, we are a sports podcast, right? Specifically a sports podcast that covers the NFL through the Jacksonville Jaguars. But regardless of what sport you like, the SeatGeek has you covered in terms of getting you your ticketing needs to those sporting events, whether it is another team within the NFL. I'm sure we might have a new listener or two, or some listeners from other teams that might be looking for enemy intel, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, whether you cover another team in the NFL or you cover the NBA, which is ongoing right now. Go Hawks, by the way, which we are below 500, unfortunately. But I digress from my point. Whether that is the MLB, you know, of course, the MLB is always exciting. NHL, Major League Soccer, whatever the case may be. If you're into NASCAR or Formula 51 or whatever the case may be, we have you covered, or SeatGeek, should I say, has you covered in terms of your ticketing need to whatever a sports event it is that you need tickets to. And of course, we are here to help you out as well. As you go to SeatGeek, we have our very own promotion code that is Touchdown Jaguars, which is pretty much everywhere. You can find a description on our podcast or information on our podcast. We are sure to leave it there. But for those of you who don't know, and our new listeners who haven't used it, it's Touchdown Jaguars. It will save you $20 off of your first order with SeatGeek. Now, of course, SeatGeek isn't just limited to sports and things in the sporting world and sports or events in the sporting world, but also events outside of that, your music concerts, music festivals, so on and so forth. You can also use our promotion code for those purposes as well on SeatGeek. So again, that's SeatGeek.com. The promotion code is Touchdown Jaguars. You get $20 off of your first order. Save yourself some money. Put that into your car and in gas, which might not get you far in this day and age, but put it into your car for gas or some food at whatever event, which the food is high these days as well. But just save yourself some money. keep yourself $20 in your pocket while also enjoying whatever event it is that you want to attend. So shout outs to them for sponsoring this podcast. All right. So, you know, we'll get right into it. I don't want to let this one linger too long. Again, I always say that, and I never can keep these under 45 minutes, even without Phil. But we'll take a swing at it. And, you know, if it is a short episode, that doesn't mean it won't be a quality episode. Of course, you all know how I am about giving the people what they want. So we will start with like more so of some quick hit news. And I think a good place to probably start is with the Jaguars injury report. Of course, with us not recording for the Tampa Bay Bucs episode, a significant injury happened there with Trevor Lawrence, who injured his shoulder on a fourth down play, trying to kind of extend out and convert a fourth down. And I think he did achieve that. He did convert the fourth down, but it came at a cost. And he landed awkwardly, hurt his shoulder, and he missed the game on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, the first game that he's missed in the NFL, which we're going to evaluate that game and talk about that. But he missed that game. CJ Bethard had to come in. And, you know, while he wasn't exactly extravagant and throwing a lot of like explosive plays, he got the job done. And that's all you can ask for, you know, because in this day and age, there are going to come times, make no mistake about it, as durable as Trevor Lawrence has been and as durable as we've seen some quarterbacks be, there do come points in a coach's career where they have to win some games without their number one quarterback. You know, whether that's a one game stretch, two game stretch, whatever the case may be, there is going to come a point in a coach's career. And it's happened to Doug Peterson before, of course, 2017 with Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, where a coach is in a crucial part of the season, needs a few crucial wins, but needs those crucial wins with their backup quarterback behind center. And that was the case this past week against the Carolina Panthers. So in terms of Trevor Lawrence now, and going back to what I was saying about looking at the injury report, Trevor was limited on Wednesday and Thursday today, which is the 4th. Happy New Year to everybody, by the way. And, Merry belated Christmas, if we didn't say that in the last recording that we had. Like I said, it's been 2 weeks, so just want to wish everybody that that celebrates Christmas. But looking at the injury report, Wednesday he was limited, Thursday he was limited, Trevor Lawrence was. And also on the injury report, I can just list off the whole report here because it's not that lengthy of an injury report, which is good. That's good news. Ezra Cleveland, he was full on Thursday. Full on Friday, full on Wednesday, full on Thursday with a knee injury. Zay Jones, limited on both days. So, you know, he could be trending towards a comeback. We'll see. Time will tell on that. You have to feel like maybe they could get it done without Zay if he needed one more week of rest. But sometimes when it comes to making a playoff, sometimes you do want all hands on deck, but not at the cost of re-aggravating the situation. So the Jaguars are in the situation where they are without Jamal Agnew, so they're down another receiver because Jamal Agnew sustained an injury. We'll talk about that later in the Carolina Panthers game. And just another hit, man. They just keep piling up injuries on the receivers end. But yeah, that was unfortunate with Jamal Agnew. He was placed on IR and that ended his season. So we're a little shorthanded at wide receiver. Also, we're a little shorthanded with Christian Kirk being on IR. But they did, the good news with him, they did designate him to return this week. So he's well on his way to a return. He actually practiced yesterday. They had a little video up, which I think it came from the Florida Times Union. And I retweeted that. But he's working on his way back. He kind of talked about that injury yesterday, too, to the media, which he kind of maybe tore some stuff off the bone. I would have to go back and listen to it, but that pretty severe injury. But it is good to see him working his way back. And again, the timeline more so for him was to have him back at least by the AFC Championship. Looks like he's trending towards that if we can make it to the AFC Championship, because we will need all hands on board. Make no mistake about it if we make it to that point. And then Walker Little, going back to Christian Kirk, he was limited on both days, by the way. And then going to Walker Little here, hamstring injury. He was full both days, Wednesday and Thursday. And then we have CJ Bethard, who was full on Thursday, but missed Wednesday. So, you know, if the Jaguars need him, it looks like, you know, with him being full on Thursday, he'll probably be full on Friday too. He will be ready if all goes well in terms of having at the very least our second string quarterback, hopefully our quarterback one, but at least our second string quarterback in CJ Beathard. So another one of the quick hits I was going to talk about was Kirk, but I covered him through the injury report. But yeah, he's returning. They, you know, designated him to return, so we can skip past that. Another quick hit, the Pro Bowl polls were finalized on yesterday, and by yesterday I mean on Wednesday. And the Jacksonville Jaguars have two Pro Bowlers going to the Pro Bowl this year. They, you know, we all had the discussion on Twitter, at least not me, but people had the discussion on Twitter that they, you know, very much probably should have had more than that. But those two Pro Bowlers are outside linebacker Josh Allen, who's been a phenomenal pass rusher. We'll talk about him later and his milestones that he achieved this week or on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. And then also for the first time, Ross Madison is going to the Pro Bowl, who has kind of established a reputation this year of being a long snapper, you know. And again, I know a lot of people be like, oh, it's just a long snapper, it's not that big of a deal, but we'll take it where we can get it, right? But he's kind of established this reputation of being a hard hitter, not only just a hard hitter, but an aggressive long snapper, right? And active tackler as well, which is something you don't necessarily associate with long snappers. And apparently that has caught people's eyes, you know, his active tackles and his, you know, his hard hitting ability. We saw him, I think it was earlier in the year, getting a little bit of a scuffle with somebody. But apparently that's brought the right type of attention to him in the polls, and he is going to the Pro Bowl. So congratulations to them. Of course, you know, you have to feel like Foyer Oluokun should have fell in there. Foyer could very well end the season as the leader's tackler, the leading tackler in the NFL for the second season or third season, excuse me, in a row. And also Evan Engram, who had, you know, he also achieved a milestone during the game. We'll talk about that as well. But one of the more active tight ends in terms of catches, yards, touchdowns, even though, well, when it comes to touchdowns, he's not on the top of the list or near the top of the list, but any other category, major category, he's been pretty active. Yards after the catch, you can argue Evan Engram's a top five tight end in the league. So, you know, he very well should have also went to the Pro Bowl as well, but he did make it as an alternate, which is my next quick hit I want to talk about. The Jaguars announced the alternates today, which is a day after the Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and I will pull that up real quick with the alternates. So for the alternates, they have Jamal Agnew, who I'll talk about in a little bit later with my next quick hit. Jamal Agnew made it. Logan Cook, punter, made it as well. Evan Engram, who I just talked about, should have made it as a first teamer, but here we are. Travis Etienne, man, who had a great game against the Panthers, by the way. We'll talk about that. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he was a Pro Bowl alternate last year and actually made it to the main roster for the Pro Bowl last year. So Trevor Lawrence made it. Foyer Oluokun, we just talked about him as well. And Darius Williams, the hometown guy from Jacksonville, who's had a great year this year in terms of, you know, intercepting the ball and his PFF grades. So good to see him also get some notoriety and some attention for the things he's been able to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then for my last quick hit, as I said, which was Jamal Agnew's injury, where one of his two catches on the day, it was a long double move he made down the field. He did sustain an ankle injury where he had to come out of the game, and as a result, it was an injury that was season ending as well. So the Jaguars took a hit there in terms of having, you know, he, as you know, we were mentioning earlier, a lot of people were scrutinizing him, but Jamal Agnew is a very, very vast, very, very valuable asset to this team, which is the argument we've always made on this podcast. We've always been Jamal Agnew stands, even when he was struggling offensively. And then when he came back from his injury, I think it was a hip injury. When he came back from that, we saw that in terms of what he adds. We already know what he adds in terms of flipping the field as a special teams returner. But we saw the Jamal Agnew we were standing as a receiver at this podcast. We saw a little bit of that when he returned because, you know, he has what, two of the most explosive plays that the Jacksonville Jaguars have had on offense, if not the two most explosive plays the Jacksonville Jaguars have had on offense since his return. So from that perspective, it's a big hit because he was a downfield threat for the Jacksonville Jaguars offensively. And that was one of the things I preached about Jamal Agnew more so last year than this year, but more so last year was because the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't really have that deep threat. You know, we were looking for who could be that guy. It was Jamal Agnew, the guy with 4.3 speed, but they never really got around to using him in that way. And this year, it's funny, like now they are using him that way. And then, you know, the injury happens. So that's so unfortunate because Jamal Agnew's on a contract year. This is the last year of his contract. People feel like that was maybe his last play as a Jacksonville Jaguar. We'll see, in time will tell. But, you know, with the team having a guy like Parker Washington, you know, it very well could be Jamal Agnew's last snap as a Jacksonville Jaguar. And if that's the case, man, we appreciate everything he's done and all of the hard work he's put out there on the field, battling through injuries, helping us flip the field and get in good field position with his punt returns and kick returns. Just know that your efforts, man, didn't go unnoticed, especially on the behalf of the Touchdown Jaguars podcast. And we'll see what the future holds for him. But regardless, man, we'll be watching and wish him the best and a speedy recovery. And then in terms of the game itself, we'll get to that here, which is what everybody came to hear about, I would guess. As I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to shut out the Carolina Panthers, which is what was needed, just what the doctor ordered, even though, you know, it feels like they left points on the board. But when you shut a team out and put up 26 on them, nobody's going to complain about that, which that's more than understandable that we wouldn't complain about that. But we did leave some points on the board, but still, nonetheless, the performance we needed for the most part after a four-game skid, I guess a good place will be to start is with the offensive statistics. C.J. Beathard, 17 of 24. So he was pretty accurate on the day for just 178 yards. Again, as I said, there weren't a lot of explosive plays aside from the Jamal Agnew throw downfield, which was 48 yards, by the way. But still efficient, effective. Enough to get the Jaguars in position to win or to get two touchdowns through Travis Etienne, which we'll talk about. But yeah, man, CJ got the job done. It went pretty. It went a lot of deep balls. A lot of balls were thrown more so on the right side. I think I was looking at the next gen chart that somebody posted on Twitter. A lot of throws to the right side. Relied on a lot of ability after the catch from Evan Engram and company. So that was big for him. And that's kind of why the stat sheet looks the way that it does for him, despite the Jaguars winning 26-0, if that makes sense. And then going to the rushing category here, Travis Etienne led the way, 16 carries, 102 yards, a lot of which came on his 62-yard touchdown. We had been looking for that explosive play out of him. And, you know, I guess that's one of the talking points I'll go to right here is the run game and how the Jaguars were effectively able to run the ball against the, albeit now a less talented Carolina Panthers team, where they had been struggling against teams with more talent to run the ball. But make no mistake about it, one of the things that can help this team is not only the momentum they take from winning the game, but the momentum in terms of the offensive success they had in the game, especially in the run game. Momentum is a very real thing in the NFL and in sports in general, right? And, you know, while the Jaguars did play a less talented team, Sometimes it takes you to play a less talented team to get that momentum started for you, and it can trickle into something even bigger heading into the playoffs. So that's why this win is significant. You know, although a lot of people will look at it as the Jaguars beat a less talented team. So let's not overlook this win from that perspective, because it could be what starts the Jacksonville Jaguars on a run in terms of this last game in the regular season and the last the going through the playoffs as well. And when we look back at it, if the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, for example, we can, you know, we will come back to this game against the Carolina Panthers. Hey, that's where it all started. That's where the hot streak started. It has to start somewhere. Last year we went on the five game stretch. It had to start somewhere, right? But, you know, if we were to go to the Super Bowl, we look, hey, it started against the Panthers. It turned into something bigger. We were able to beat other teams that were better than the Panthers after that. But that Panthers game is where it started in terms of getting us going in the right direction. And hopefully that's the case. And, you know, we're talking about multiple victories in the playoffs after this. A victory against the Titans next week and maybe a Super Bowl victory. That would be a beautiful thing if this game started the kind of momentum that we all hope it could. But going back to the run game, you know, the Jaguars offensive line were moving guys off the ball a little bit better. Again, less talented team, haven't been able to do it against good teams, but they were, you know, moving people off the ball a little bit better. Also, they, you know, not only did they commit to the run a lot in this game, but also, you know, they stuck to what they had been trying. Now, this we can say they have been trying is running those plays to the outside of the tackles. Those plays where the running back can get a little bit of momentum and you know, attack the perimeter of a defense. And they had great success. And that's how ETN broke off his big 62-yard touchdown, which came in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. So he was good for an average of 6.4 yards on the day. Had two touchdowns, one of which came on that long run that I mentioned, and also had a touchdown. I think it was a 3-yard touchdown where he kind of got stuffed near the line, reached over the, you know, the line, broke the plane. One of his own teammates actually knocked the ball out of his hand. But at that point, the play is over. It doesn't matter. He broke the plane. That's a touchdown. But still, the good coaches will say, protect the ball, young man, as I'm sure Coach Bernie Parmalee was telling them after that, despite it being a touchdown. But another thing I kind of want to talk on in terms of a talking point for how the run game performed and whatnot. Also, Tank Bigsby, by the way, let me get on him a little bit. I had 10 carries for 32 yards, only good for a 3.2 yard average. He did have a better game, though, despite that stat line. And he had some runs that, you know, we have known to associate with Tank Bigsby in college. He's kind of struggled in terms of the NFL. But he had a better game despite his average being below 4. He had some effective runs, some physical runs. And again, that could be some momentum for him, some positive momentum for him heading forward. But when looking at the run game overall, one talking point I just kind of wanted to also discuss is not only the success they had, but how they did it. Shout outs to UCF Jag, who kind of pointed this out, but the Jaguars used a lot of tight ends in the backfield as a lead blocker type of thing, right? Which, again, when you're without Trevor Lawrence, of course, you look for ways to adjust. And not only that, the offense had been struggling in general, even with Trevor Lawrence. So adjustments should have been made with or without Trevor Lawrence. So it's not just because they had C.J. Beathard thing that they started doing this, but yeah, they started putting, you know, guys in the backfield, Brenton Strange and, you know, lead blockers at the tight end position in the backfield. And that kind of did help them. And that's something I want to see translated into when Trevor Lawrence is on the field. And a lot of things that we saw in this game in general, like the care for the ball that C.J. Beathard had. We want to see that translate when Trevor Lawrence is out there. And, you know, again, all of the turnover issues haven't been on Trevor Lawrence. It's been on the offense collectively. But that's how we're going to win games, is taking care of the ball like CJ did and like the offense did when CJ was out there. That needs to translate when Trevor is out there. People need to be running the right routes. Trevor needs to take care of the ball himself so he can avoid turnovers in that way, shape, or form. But also, I really, really want to see some of this putting guys in the backfield for Travis Etienne as a lead blocker, because we just, you know, our offensive line just isn't it. And we aren't going to have the success that we had against the Carolina Panthers in terms of running the ball against other teams that we're going to face heading forward. But that's not to say that the Jacksonville Jaguars shouldn't start trying to establish the run and commit more to the run, because that's the bulk of what's the Jaguars' problem is, especially in the month of December and late. Well, it's January now, but in the month of December, you need to be able to run the ball. But in general, the key to what they're dealing with, their issues on offense, as we all know, is they can't run the ball because they don't have the line. And Luke Fortner has been a tremendous miss at the center position. But if they could get the run game going, that would make life on Trevor Lawrence so much more easier, because with you being able to run the ball effectively and get the run game going, or at least have a threat of the run game, you can misplace defenders for when you pass the ball. And that's always been a staple for a young quarterback. Although Trevor Lawrence has all the arm talent in the world, you still would like to see him tone down on the throwing. Even though it's a Doug Peterson offense, you still would like to see him tone down on the throwing from the perspective of just keeping people guessing, right, in terms of a defense. And that would also help Press Taylor a lot. I know a lot of people are not pleased with Press Taylor, me included. But that would help him tremendously, too, as well. And if Press Taylor could get the run going, I think we would like him a lot more as a play caller. But the reason he calls plays the way that he calls them is because they can't run the ball. And that alludes to them, you know, doing some of the things they do and leading to the mistakes that they make. But if the Jaguars were able to run the ball effectively, I bet you right now we're not ready to shoot Press Taylor to the moon, and we are more accepting of him. Now, I'm not saying we would love him, but we would think he'd be doing a decent job. You know, we wouldn't be saying like, oh, Doug needs to replace him, so on and so forth. So I think that's the key to the Jaguars' issues, is running the ball a little bit better and maybe, you know, getting a guy back there in the backfield, Brenton Strange, whoever the case may be, as a lead blocker. And seeing if that can work for this team heading forward, they might have started something that can help them play a little bit better offensively in this Panthers game. And time will tell if they allow this stuff to translate when Trevor Lawrence is back on the field. But they can't forget about the things they did and how they won this game heading forward, right? Even when Trevor Lawrence is inserted back into the game, they need to stick to some of these fundamentals going forward, because these are some fundamentals that you need to apply, especially in the playoffs, to help you win some games. So time will tell on that and the approach they take when Trevor Lawrence returns. I'm not sure if he'll return again, as we talked about with the injury news, if he'll return against the Titans or if he'll return in the playoffs. But whenever he's back, these things need to apply, and you know, these things need to be applied as well when he's on the field. And then in terms of the passing game, Evan Engram led the way again. You know, as I said earlier, he had a big day after the catch. Jamal Agnew wasn't too far behind him, but Engram had 6 receptions for 60 yards. Did a lot of work after the catch. Jamal Agnew, 2 receptions for 53 yards. Of course, the big 48-yard play down the field where he did the double move was where he got a bulk of that from. Calvin Ridley, 4 catches for 39 yards, which went a crazy day, but he was there for CJ in some key moments, right? In some possession type plays, which CJ actually talked about how helpful it was to have Calvin, like have veterans out there with him that have seen a lot of snaps throughout the year. Calvin, Evan Engram, who helped him in terms of getting a lot of yards after the catch, Travis Etienne, and so on and so forth. He talked about that CJ Beathard did after the game in the press conference. And, you know, the reason that's important is because, you know, a backup quarterback is used to having, you know, second, third string guys out there with him in most cases. So when he's actually playing with a guy or skilled players with experience, that helps tremendously, because he's already playing with some guys that are more talented than the guys he takes snaps with in the offseason and in practice, right? And that really transferred and helped CJ Beathard to get through this game, as he mentioned in the press conference after the game. So I will go on to the defense here. I think I hit on all the talking points in terms of the offense, but defensively, I'll just rattle off the top tacklers of the day. Tyson Campbell, man, 8 tackles, led the way for the Jacksonville Jaguars in tackles. He was real active, man. And that, you know, that was probably because the Panthers like to throw a lot of stuff near the line of scrimmage and rely at the yard after the catch after that. But Tyson was playing downhill, man. He looked like somebody that was literally coached by Kirby Smart, as he was in UGA or at UGA. But he looked like he was at some UGA practices out there. The way he was playing downhill and just hitting the receivers, man. And Tyson Campbell has always been, despite his struggles this year, he's always been a person or a player, for the most part, that can tackle very well, or at least that can tackle hard. He's a hard hitter. I can remember his rookie year, he hit a tight end. I forgot who it was, man. One-on-one, he hit a tight end and just straight up leveled him, man. I was like, wow, man, that's what Kirby Smart trained you to be. I mean, of course, he trained you to perform well in coverage situations. But also, that's just that UGA coming out of you, man. A cornerback willing to tackle and that can tackle. Now, sometimes Tyson doesn't use his arms, and he had a tackle where he didn't use his arms. I think it was against a running back where he didn't wrap up. But aside from that, Tyson Campbell, man, is a guy that's not scared to stick his nose in the run game and help out. And we saw that not just in the run game, but as I was saying, you know, him laying hits on the receivers. We saw a lot of that in Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers. So he led the way, and coincidentally, another UGA Bulldog was right there behind him in tackles, and Trayvon Walker, who had 6 tackles, and he exited the game with 2 sacks, by the way, which that was significant because it put him in a situation where, going against the Titans this week, he could have 10 sacks, which is huge because he was a first overall pick, man. And that's the accolade that I'm the most excited about, is seeing our first overall pick get 10 sacks, because he had so many doubters and he had so many people saying, like, he's the most non-talked about first round pick that I've ever seen in recent history. And all of these naysayers and all of these people like, hey, they should have got Aiden Hutchinson over him, which you could still argue that Aiden Hutchinson is a significantly better pure pass rusher than Trayvon. But make no mistake about it, Trayvon is developing. He's coming along. He's growing. You know, they used him on the inside. One of his sacks came from the inside, which a lot of people have been arguing. That's what they need to see more so out of him. And the Jaguars need to add an additional edge rusher to kick Trayvon inside on third downs and make their pass rush that much more better. But yeah, Trayvon is in a situation where he came out of this game with 2 sacks, and he now has the opportunity. 1 more sack, because he has 9 total. 1 more sack out of him, and he'll have double digits. And hey, who knows? Maybe he gets another, you know, multi-sack game or a sack and a half. And, you know, he surpasses 10 sacks, which would be pretty significant for our young number 1 overall pick from 2023. And then behind him is the other man of the hour, right? Josh Allen, who achieved a milestone in terms of catching and surpassing Calais Campbell's single season sack record for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And shout out to Calais, who Josh said reached out to him and sent them a text, hey, go get that record. And he did just that. You know, he learned under Calais that first year, which was pretty significant, man. So shout outs to the mayor, who he still has a special place in our hearts, man. And we still love him to this day. And we, you know, we wanted to see him come back, actually, but that didn't happen. And he's in Atlanta now. Which is a city very near and dear to my heart as well. So please take care of him, Atlanta, as you have been. But shout outs to Calais, man. Love the mayor, man. And yeah, shout outs to Josh Allen for this huge achievement. And they are now in a situation where the Jaguars, between him and Trayvon Walker, I think they could hit like 25 sacks or something like that, which that would overtake the record set by the pairing of Yannick Ngakoue and Calais Campbell. I'll have to look at what the number is. I think it's 25 or 26 and a half, but Trayvon and Josh Allen can hit that with, I think, a sack and a half from them collectively against the Tennessee Titans. I'll correct myself if I'm wrong on that. I'll put a tweet out to correct myself on that, but I'll have to look back at it after I wrap up the podcast. But, I mean, in a nutshell, I don't really have to really go into the defense too much. I mean, they shut the Panthers down and held them to 0. But What I will say, they just really looked a step faster than the Panthers. And that, you know, that's probably a result of them facing a younger unit, right? Where, you know, they did a lot of things where they were trying to confuse Bryce Young at the line of scrimmage, faking blitzes here, and then bringing up defenders who may not be faking blitzes and dropping guys back in coverage and what have you. You cause a little bit of hesitation from the quarterback. You cause a little bit of hesitation, especially to the offensive line as well, especially a young offensive line. Veteran offensive lines know how to handle that stuff, but a young offensive line or a discombobulated offensive line, which is, that would be us in terms of our struggles with stopping the blitz, you know, that'll cause some hesitation. And that's how Josh Allen was able to get free in the situations he was in. And Trayvon Walker was able to get free in the situations he was in one-on-ones at the line of scrimmage, where they were able to beat Ike Ekwonu and company. And just kind of like made it a long, long, long day for Bryce Young. So that's really, in a nutshell, what went down on the defense. It's going to be very interesting to see Bryce Young's future, because he really is struggling and the franchise or the organization isn't helping him. We all know they have bottom tier ownership there with the Carolina Panthers, and that actually showed in the game with David Tepper throwing a drink on a Jaguars fan who very well may have been haggling him, but still didn't deserve a drink being poured on them. And here the NFL is just fining him $300K. That's a slap on the wrist, by the way. Like, we got to hold these owners accountable. They, at the end of the day, annihilate the pockets of the taxpayers, right, in these stadium negotiations and the things they ask for, while we as the fans fuel their pockets in terms of ticket sales and just, you know, supporting the NFL in general. And then the one moment when an owner pours a drink on a fan who is the person that pays his salary and makes him rich. I don't want to say pay his salary, but makes him rich and, you know, puts money in his pocket. All he gets is a slap on the wrist for $300,000. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And it's completely ridiculous that that's all that came from it. And then the apology wasn't really an apology. So we'll see, like, if, you know, some legal things come out of that. I guess, like, that's more so on lawyers and whatnot. That's not our expertise or anything we can speak on. But I just found that ridiculous. But going back to the ownership, yeah, just poor ownership there. And, you know, that could affect Bryce Young's projection, if they can put the right pieces around him or not, if they can get the right head coach in there for him or not. So a lot of concerns for him heading forward. But, you know, I don't want to veer off into that because this is a Jaguars podcast. Just wanted to voice my concerns there. But that being said, we will wrap this episode up. I am James Johnson at @SportsGrind_Dunn, as you know me on Twitter. My co-host is Phil the Filipino, is how you can find him on Twitter. His name is Phil Smith in terms of his first and last name, not Phil the Filipino. But that's how you find him on Twitter. You can find this podcast, touchdownjaguars.com, in terms of the archived episodes we have on there and written content that'll be coming soon. At TD Jaguars Pod is where you can find the Twitter handle on Twitter as well. As always, you can find the podcast, as I said earlier, on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, however you refer to it as, Spotify, most notably, Amazon Music, and many, many other platforms. And if we aren't there, as I said earlier, we'll get there if you let us know that we're not on your favorite platform. So feel free to let us know, and also feel free to rate, comment, and subscribe through Apple Podcasts or iTunes if you use that. So we will be back next week. Hopefully we'll be talking about the victory episodes. It's Titans hate week. So go Jags against the Titans. We'll have Phil back, as I said, next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about some postseason aspirations and some, you know, a postseason matchup. Maybe we'll get a Browns guest in, whatever the case may be, when we come back for the Victory Monday episode. So until then, everybody take care of each other. Everybody be safe out there. And once again, I am James Johnson, and I am signing out.